Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servadidio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Well, tonight is our second part of my three-part series on films that are making a difference and giving back to our community. The film we'll be addressing tonight is The Right to Live. I have Nancy Vasquez and Michelle Francesco on the line with me. They're both the writers, directors, producers, editors, and songwriters of this film. Wow, they're doing a lot of work on this film. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Alexa. It truly is inspirational to come on your show and speak to you about our film, The Right to Live. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We're so grateful.
Thank you. Now, I saw the trailer of your film about a month ago, and I have to say, it was very intense. It was an amazing, amazing work, and very intense. And what I really liked about it is it really hit the hard areas of abuse. And the film seems to be all about different types of abuse. How did it all get started? How did you put this together?
Well, to be honest with you, Nancy and I worked on a set that she was co-directing on a few years ago. And we sat down and became friends right from the very instant. You know, I was very drawn to Nancy, to be honest with you. I saw how compelling she was, getting out there and inspiring so many individuals, the actors, in directing. And she was so caring and loving. You know, soon right after that, we became close friends. And we wanted to make a difference in this world, so we sat down and conversed and wrote down some scenarios on how did we want to make a difference in this world. And we said what matters most to us is abuse, because so many people are victimized about, you know, any form of abuse and want to get out there and spread the awareness while providing a solution. So Nancy, you know, her and I sat down, we wrote the script together, The Right to Live, and said, you know what, let's showcase all different abuses, and that's how we can truly make a difference, by providing spreading the awareness and providing solutions on how to get help and become a better individual to lead a productive life out there. You know, because that's what Nancy and I are all about sending a clear message and honestly breaking the cycle of madness out there, because it's so intense out there in the world.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that?
Yes, and I find that, you know, it's so many different types of abuse. People can become so overwhelmed and so confused of what's going on and don't really understand the true impact or the seriousness of effective abuse for the people, the victims, perpetrators, family members. It's really not a healthy legacy, but it lives on if not treated correctly.
Yes, that's the one thing that, you know, one of the other things that draw Michelle and I together is that we've both been through abuse. Michelle's been sexually and emotionally abused. My mom is a domestic violence survivor, you know, and I remember just growing up and being frightened and being scared and just, you know, thinking that no one understood what I was going through, you know, and just understanding that is one of the major reasons we did the film, why we wanted to bring awareness, why provide a solution. We said we have to go back and show people where the abuse starts from, where, you know, where it originates, and then come up with solutions or study solutions that are going to help everyone, that's going to help the abuser and the abusee, you know, because many times the abuser has been abused.
Yes. Yes. And I commend you so much of coming forward with your story and with tackling such a tough topic. And it's such a hard topic to deal with, because I think there's people have guilt or shame or don't want to really discuss it. But it's something that impacts, you know, I bet at least one person or someone knows someone in their family or someone close to them that's been abused. It's a widespread epidemic going on.
To be honest with you, it certainly is, Alexa, to be honest. It's recognizable and relatable to everyone in the world. To be honest, abuse does not discriminate.
Exactly.
It happens in every household.
Every household, every culture.
You know, so what it is that, you know, you don't know what kind of abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, verbal, mental, drugs, alcohol, bullying, postpartum depression, cutters, There is every form of abuse that is showcased out there in our film that people just don't recognize, like, oh, my God, like, this is happening to me, and what can I do to get out of this situation? And that's what's the pivotal part of our film is that we showcase in our flashback scenes, in our group counseling sessions, where everything originates.
Yes.
So you see the storyline with the four main actors that are going through the storyline in our film. We take you in the heart of it at our group counseling sessions, going through counseling and then reverting back to flashbacks and showing you just really where it happened. And then when you're leaving that film, you're saying, that's happened to me, or it's happened to somebody I know and love. How can I get the story out to them and tell them that there's help out there? Don't let somebody take your self-worth and your power so you don't want to live again. You know, there is help out there to come out of it, whether you're the abuser or you're the victim. You can get better, get your power back so you can live again, because stand up for yourself and know what you're worth. And everybody's in different, all different ways. Everybody needs to respect one another, love one another, and accept one another for who they are as individuality.
Exactly. That's why our film, like Michelle says, bring awareness while providing a solution. And we deal with four steps. You know, the four steps are abuse is not your fault. Talk about it. Take your power back so you can live again. The way we wrote our film, we have a storyline. That's why it's a feature film, but it's a documentary in the way it makes you feel like you're in there witnessing this abuse. It's a documentary into a film into a documentary, a lesson with a storyline.
How
amazing. And it's powerful, dramatic, riveting, emotional. Most important thing is that you will feel triumphant to know that you can lead a productive life without abuse. Because, you know, the abusers themselves have been victimized, like Nancy was saying before. You don't know their storyline, what brought them to the level. They just didn't come out of nowhere. Everybody has gone through any form of abuse, whoever the abuser is. Whether it's in their home life, they come from a broken home. There's so many different scenarios that you don't think is abuse, but in actuality it is. Emotional, verbal, you know, somebody, you know, belittling them, somebody who's feeling to make, like they want to empower you, you know, some of them are made to feel like, let me make fun of you, you know, you dress a certain way, you gain weight or something, you know, everybody's not picture perfect. Everybody in life is indifferent and different in all different aspects, and everybody needs to learn how to commingle inside of a world, because life is precious, life is too short, and you have to make the most of it so you can leave your legacy behind.
I agree. And I really, you know, commend also what you're doing, that you're building, you know, a community, an environment through your film, a voice for those who don't feel comfortable coming out. And I think taking the guilt, the shame, you know, the avoidance of not coming forward, if being the perpetrator or the victim. And I think so many times people don't want to discuss it. People, or while they're going through it, they're so taken over and crippled by the abuse, they don't even know what's going on, and they blame themselves. And they say, I must have done something wrong. You know, I must be, you know, not doing things right. And they don't reach out for help, and they don't realize other people have gone through this, and that there's hope and that there's treatment, and that isolation and being alone is something that is so detrimental to their sanity, to healing, to growing forward, that they really need to reach out and find. And having these group therapies and group sessions really allows them to hear other people's stories, to be able to, you know, kind of say, okay, validate what they've gone through and have the feeling that they can get their power back.
Yes, it's so incredible what you're saying, Alexa. It's so true. You know, we did a lot of research before, of course, writing this film. And in talking to people, you know, even abusers, I remember talking to this gentleman, and he was telling me that every time he emotionally abused or hit his wife, the next day he would feel so bad, almost like he wanted to kill himself, but he didn't know how to stop it. You know, so they're victims too. You know, and that's the incredible thing about this film, that everyone is getting help because everyone becomes a victim.
Yes, And that's the only way to stop the cycle.
Yes,
because it just keeps going into this cycle, And, you know, people need to need a way out, need a way to heal, need to move forward. How was it for you making this film? Was it hard to tape it? Did you feel it was hard to see some of the topics or some of the scenes that were going on throughout the film?
Yes. Even in making the film, because it's so incredible, because Michelle and I, a lot of what we researched and wrote, we also have experienced or seen it in our family's life, you couldn't help but going back to that memory as we were doing the film. So it was so emotional. But as we were getting through the film and going through the counseling sessions, it was so triumphant for us because we knew that people were going to learn from this. Not only we were changing as we were going through this, we knew people were going to learn from this, and there was a message that was going to get out there to stop this cycle of madness, to bring awareness while providing solutions.
To be honest with you, you know, it's very compelling, and like Nancy says, you're going through the emotional state of mind while you're filming it and writing it and directing it. And getting there in the edit room and living it all over again. But like she says, you get up in a group counseling session, even our actors alone, you hear them telling us stories about what happened in their lives. And you know, whether that touched each and every one of our actors, so you know it's going to touch each and every one of the people watching our film. It's telling them, it's okay for me to talk about. It's okay for me to share with you what I have witnessed or experienced personally or somebody that I love. Because with that, you bring a story. With that, there's a topic, and with that, there's help. Because everybody wants to be a good person in life. And they just have to know that it's okay that you have gone through all these scenarios, but it's okay to get on the other side and just keep telling yourself, I'm a good person, I love myself, I want to get out there and make a difference, I can get through this, I don't need to give in and let them win. Because the person who victimizes you, they just want your power. So if you don't allow them to take your inner strength and your power, then what's left for them? Then they stop. Then they have to research themselves to say, this is not working on everybody anymore. I need to research myself and know what I'm doing with others is wrong. Know what you're doing is wrong. Understanding what you're doing is wrong and learning how to get through it to get help, to get better, and get out there when you do and you're the abuser, get out there and share your story and showing that you have showcased that you're a better person, that you want to help somebody else. Because with your story and what you're going through, it can help somebody else in life.
Yes. And I think that's what's so amazing. When I have guests on my show, I look for guests that are want to pay it forward, want people to leave their film or their event saying, what can I do to be a better person? What can I do to tell my story to heal somebody else or for somebody else to be helped or saved because of their story? And it sounds like your film is exactly that. It tells stories that allow that people can hear and internalize and say, okay, now I can work through something and give them the hope and some tools to move forward.
Yes,
absolutely. And let me tackle on the topic of bullying, what we did for bullying. We have an anti-bully song called Wake Up. Nancy and I, you know, as going through the process of filming and we have it showcased in our film, we're witnessing in now life so many children were killing themselves because they were bullied, throwing themselves in front of trains, you know, which prompted Nancy and I to sit down. Like in Staten Island, Jersey, you know, a couple of years ago, there were so many kids killing themselves because they were bullied, whether it was cyberbullying, whether it was bullying in school, learning to, let me just give in, I can't deal with this, I can't handle this, everybody's looking at us, prompted us to write a song called Wake Up. You know, it's a positive message song that teaches kids to not give in and let them win.
Exactly. And Wake Up stands for We Are Kids, Educated, United, and Positive. And what Michelle and I do is we started Project Wake Up, and we go to schools and we talk to kids about bullying and, you know, the prevention of it and what to do if you are being bullied. And, you know, we have the song Wake Up, and we give them books you know, and now we have a screenplay ready to be filmed about bullying. And you know, it's all abuse, but we're trying to tackle every aspect of abuse, learn from every aspect of abuse, teach people, because we all just want to heal and spread the word.
Yes, and I think that's, you know, it starts, too, you know, with the bullying and being a child and going through that for any child. I think it changes their way of thinking about life, of trusting people. And those are, unfortunately, not healthy lessons that they are taught about relationships, about interaction with others, and about self-esteem. So with your bullying project, it sounds it's really helping to build people's self-esteem up, to teach them about healthy relationships, and to also have, you know, to be assertive without being aggressive, to be able to know different boundaries about growing up. I think so many times these young children feel like there is no way out, and the rise of suicide with these young kids in school has become so big that it's very frightening.
I mean, yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, when we started that song, Wake Up, Danny Rivera and John Rivera, they were part of The Right to Live, and JR was the music producer, and Danny as well alongside, and, you know, they wanted to so much be a part of it that, you know, they helped create, like, the 16 bars, you call it, for the song. And they've gone with us, Danny, JR, have gone with us to schools and talk with the kids. But they wanted to be so much a part of it, you know, to get out there. And they're young, and since then, I mean, I have to commend Danny Rivera. He got out there, he wanted to continue making a difference. So then he created the anti-work bullying, you know, association out there for a work bullying situation. You know, what we have done, we have shaped and molded so many different people that have been a part of the Right to Live, that they themselves continue their journey in creating more different things to get out there and raise awareness without, you know, any hesitation, because they were so excited to get out there and help people in the world. And I commend each and every one of them for getting out there and making a difference.
That's right. It's about paying it forward.
Yes. And I had Danny and his father and Reverend John on my show.
Yes.
I think it was back in February or March, about the bullying project, about the bullying that they're doing, the anti-bullying. And it's amazing. I think to hear someone as an older, I mean, not a child, an older adult, a young adult, but older, speak about the effects of bullying, especially as a man, to speak about it really helps take the shame away, really helps them people realize that it does make an impact when people are bullying. It's not just a rite of passage, I'll go through it, that's what happens when you go to school. That's not what it's about. You should not be treated like that. That is, you know, damages you.
And to be honest with you, I mean, I've worked a long time, I worked in Manhattan, and, you know, I'm going to speak frank about it, about my own personal experience about work bullying. You know, I commend, like I said, once again, because there's not enough awareness about that. I myself was a victim of that, to be honest with you. I was belittled and bullied every single day for, I think it's a greater part of 10 years in Manhattan, you know? And he was an alcoholic. He was very abusive to me and in front of my peers. And to be honest with you, you know, I was treated like, you know, oh, you're nothing, blah, 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 blah. You know, being bullied in a workplace is very detrimental to you. But just know that you can surpass it. There's not enough awareness out there for it. Bullying of all kinds is a serious issue, whether it's with children, whether it's with adults, whether it's with parenting, whether it's with anything out there. Abuse is something that should just not be occurring. It's just an ongoing epidemic in the world. Domestic violence, they're speaking so strongly on it. It's Awareness Month for Domestic Violence right now, and just way too many people are victims of this.
Yes.
And why do you think it's become so widespread now? It seems, you know, in my professional opinion, my clients that I've seen, it almost seems that between the domestic violence, the verbal abuse, and the emotional abuse, which is just as bad as the physical abuse, it's just as damaging as that, has been such on a rise. It's been people, I think there's like no boundaries. People just say what they want to say and want to hurt people, and it seems like it's gotten worse and worse as the years have gone by.
Yeah, it definitely has gotten worse, but the thing about it also is that it's more open now. Like, it happened growing up, but, you know, it was kept at home. It was private. It was something that you didn't talk about, especially emotional and physical abuse in the household. Now people are talking about it. And that's why, you know, it just seemed more widespread.
Change it on the rise. That's what it is, Alexa.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is.
Changes on the rise with that. And that's how you break that cycle of madness. So I'm sorry, but there is a lot of violence out there. But I commend each and every one of them in the world, from here to Timbuktu, getting out there and raising awareness, because it needs to be spoken about. And I'm sorry, but you need to be shamed. If you're part of that and you're doing that, you need to step back, because now you're not going to be viewed upon as you're a hero and you're taking advantage of this and, oh, good job. No, you're going to be frowned upon. So with the small inner circle is closing in on the person who's the abuser now. So there's so many others that are now coming in full circle and saying, I'm going to stand up for myself and my others, my peers, my loved ones, and we're not going to allow this to happen to us anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, people don't want to hurt anymore. You know, people have been hurting for a long time. And the reason why we know so much about it now is because people are saying something. You can only get help when you say something. And that's the blessing, because people are saying something and they're getting the help they deserve. And even when it comes to abusers, you know, because they were victims themselves, they're learning now to take a step back and know, okay, why do I want to hurt this person? Let me understand that they're unique. Let me accept them for who they are. I mean, there's so much in there. You know, there's studies that abuse in a household takes 3 generations before it's done, because it goes on and on before the cycle of madness is stopped, because that's how long it's been going on.
Yes, and I think 2 children can grow up into a house where there's physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and each of them will address it differently. One can come out, you know, maybe not having healthy relationships, and the other one can come out actually having horrible anger issues and end up becoming the one thing he actually hated growing up and was a victim of being a perpetrator of abuse. And it's out of what he saw, out of what he learned, and out of the fear, pain, and anger that was really never resolved or even worked through.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Alexa, to be honest with you. And like I said, you know, I'm going to use a scenario. We're married. We have children. And you and I are showcasing even verbal abuse in the household. What the child takes from it and then decides to grow up with, they can absolutely, without a doubt, put it onto their next, whether it's their loved ones or their friends. And they're going to keep continuously showcasing it. And it's absolutely true what you're saying about the other child. 2 different opinions, 2 different views, and what they take from it. And with that, I hope and pray that if you come from a broken home, because there are so many broken homes out there, you know, if you're the parents, please try and remember, if your children are showcasing to you that they're upset and they're voicing to you what they're going through, that they need for you two to stop arguing and yelling and screaming, it's affecting them. Get them help.
Yes. Right. And children, if you're talking to your parents and they somehow can't hear you or they get so upset that they don't understand what you're saying, go to your counselor. You know, talk to your higher power. Talk to your teacher. Talk to somebody you trust and try to get the help you need, or get your parents the help they need.
Yes. And, you know, it just comes up in my mind when we were speaking about that, about the case of the football player who knocked out, you know, who was physically abusive to his fiance, now wife. And, you know, I was looking at different conversations and different messages and blog talk articles and stuff on the radio and on the internet, and people saying, oh, well, she's probably just in it for the money, she's this and that. And it saddened me, because it's not just something as, you know, the money or something like that. I mean, she is a true victim of domestic violence, of abuse, and I think people can't accept it or understand it, that they have to say, oh, well, you know, it always angers me, oh, she likes it, or she wants it, or it's not about that. It's not that easy to get away. It's not so cut and dry.
No, it's certainly not, to be honest with you, and it's not easy. She don't want that. Nobody wants that. Nobody asks to get beat up. Nobody likes it, to be honest with you. And when you're being victimized like that, you know, it's, to be honest with you, there's no shame to sit there and say, oh, I need to work through this. You don't know what the situation they're going through, to be honest with you. So I'm not here to judge, to be honest with you. And if they themselves, the two as a couple, need to get their health to get their relationship intact, and unfortunate that the world is seeing it and viewing it, and we're all passing judgments, not myself, not you, but I'm just saying in the general sense. You know, you don't know what's going on in her household, so I'm not here to judge her in any way, shape, or form, or him. But just know that they can get help to get out of the situation for the individuals themselves, that they can just regain their power for both parties, to be honest with you. Because they're both victims in their form of life in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so that's what's important. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so that's what's important because, you know, when you see an incident, you're just seeing that incident. You know what happened before it, what happened after it, no one knows. And apparently they got married afterwards. So I pray and hope that they worked out what they were supposed to, and not that they work it out.
Yes, and I think a topic I was thinking about is that, when you said, I'm not going to judge, and I find that everybody thinks they have the right to come in and give their opinion or give their
exactly.
judgment or say, oh, well, this is what happened. Where are the boundaries? Step back. This is a very serious subject. It's not for everyone to discuss and give their opinion. You don't know these people. I mean, this is a very serious thing, and I think that's where things are going, where everybody thinks that they have a right to have an opinion to something or judge it or say something and not really realize how hurtful and damaging what they're saying could be.
You can't pass judgment because you don't know what's going on in anybody else's household and what their experience is in their life, which leads them to where they are right now. And, you know, I commend people, you know, if they want to work through something, depending on the circumstances, they can come past and surpass it because that's the true heroism. If you can come out of that and show a productive life for their family, for their situation, you know, I commend them for wanting to get help to be a better person for the individuals that themselves. Because if they can showcase that, you know, who are we to judge? Why can't they get better? What if she loves him? What if he loves her? You don't know. We're not here to judge nobody, to be honest with you. Don't throw stones
when you live in a glass house. My mom says that all the time, and I think also the important thing is, you know, does he want to change? Does the abuser want to change? Because that's a difference. If he doesn't want to change, then, you know, then that there's your answer. He doesn't see what he's doing is wrong. That which sometimes it takes a long time, if any time, if they ever do figure out their behavior is wrong, or they don't keep blaming the victim. She made me do it, or he made me do it, because I work with a lot of men who are domestic violence victims. And let me tell you, people, there's a lot of guilt and shame about that. And I hear a lot of comments from other people saying, well, oh, come on, he's bigger than her. He could have just walked away or pushed her away. It's not right. He's still a victim of domestic violence.
Exactly. To be honest with you, as far as, you know, him wanting to change, unfortunately, Alexa, in life, sometimes bad situations have to happen in order to make a change until you actually hit dead in the face, so to speak, and say, whoa, what did I do? Maybe, you know, he wasn't aware, and it's as crazy as that sounds, you're not aware of it until, you know, you get to a breaking point, mm-hmm. and then you become aware, and you become, oh, my God, I got to change it. I got to become the better person.
Yeah, because let me tell you, there's consequences to everything that we do. But some things can be worked through depending on if people want to work through it. Now, if people don't want to work through it, then we know what we have to do. But if people want to work through things, you can.
And by no means, we're not justifying, you know, any domestic violence or anything like that.
Exactly.
But we're saying there's, you know, there's things we have to, people have to sit back and not jump to conclusions and really say, okay, are you trained in this? Do you have experience with this? Before making judgments, before saying, because, you know, everyone always says when they're not in a situation, oh, I would have done that, I could do this, I would leave. And then when it really happens to them, it's a totally different story. We can never prepare ourselves for certain things, unfortunately, like that we shouldn't be preparing for.
nothing in life is cut dry, to be honest with you. Like that, we're not made up that way, and not everything is black or is it white. There is a middle part to everything in life. You know, there's just a lot of steps that you have to go through in life to get to the other side and to be healed and become that better person as far as that goes, you know?
Yeah, a lot of things in life, especially relationships, are things you have to work through. It's the point of being willing to. When you're not willing to, then that's where the problem comes in.
Yes. So how was it finding the actors for this, for the role? Did you have certain characteristics, certain traits you were looking when you were auditioning, or how did you go about the casting for all these parts? Because they're pretty, sound like very deep depth, character depth driven parts.
Well, to be honest with you, our casting director is John Thomas from JT Talent Enterprise, LLC. He is our casting director, and we sat down and we worked with him. We had auditioned, and there are definitely certain characteristics and traits that we needed to be showcased. So every actor that came in and auditioned and spoke with, you know, we had to see, hand-pick, which ones were capable of showcasing. You know, there are a lot of different abuses in this film, and you had to be able to get that across to each individual. Mm-hmm. And our cast, to be honest with you, was like 200. You know, 150 of them had speaking roles, and I would say about 50 actors that were, you know, extras. We had 40-plus locations. It was a lot of work and a lot of research that went into the making of The Right to Live. You know, it was several months in advance, preparing, sat down, spoke with JT. I mean, we're on the phone 24 hours a day, basically. But I must commend him for doing a phenomenal job. The casting.
How long did it take to make the film?
Well, from start to finish, preparing it, writing it, it was about 3 months, man.
Yeah, 3 to 4 months.
And then we were filming for, I would say, 3 months. But we only did it on weekends, though, Alexa. So, you know, our actors are working. So we had to work around that scenario and situation. So had it not, and we were showcased during the week, we would have did it in, I would say, give or take about a month, maybe a little bit less.
But, I'm also wondering.
So much involvement with this film. I mean, to, you know, intervene over here, but Nancy and I, you know, we're the songwriters for a great part of our soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So we have a music company as well. So we had an artist to get up there and sing our songs besides that. Besides having other music in our film that we have, but our album soundtrack, I would say about half of it, maybe a little bit more, is our creation with Nancy and I. Mm-hmm. You know, we wrote the songs for them. We had to get artists to sing it, and then we had to put it inside the film. So there was a lot that we had tackled on.
So this was really your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Blood, sweat, tears, and it's a phenomenal experience. And we had a fantastic cast and crew that had worked alongside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And blessed.
And let's just at the beginning. I mean, you know, after this, you know, we said we have Wake Up. You know, we have Matters of the Heart, Moth, that deals with women issues. We have The Chase, that deal with stalking. You know, we have so many other screenplays ready to go to bring awareness and provide solution that we're so excited.
That's amazing. And I really like that you pick topics, you pick subjects that are very, very hard-hitting and very relevant to what's going on.
Very true.
And I was, you know, I was thinking about your shooting schedule, what you were saying, as also as an actress too, that I'm wondering that the actors might have needed the week off from shooting and being in these characters, because it sounded like the characters were pretty heavy, pretty deep characters that maybe, you know, to be that character for 7 days a week, I would think, you know, could take a toll on them. But, you know, living those stories, being those stories.
Agree.
Well, Alexa, let me tell you, when we were filming in one of our counseling sessions, one of the counselors there, while one of the actors was telling his story, he broke out, before we even said cut, he broke out and said, "That's what happened to me," and he ran out. We had to reshoot that scene. So although people had read their scripts and I went through it, it was still intense. They were still almost even living through it while we were filming.
Yeah, and I think that's what really brings up the thing of abuse is, you know, it really, it, I mean, you can heal and process through it, but it comes up. It really needs to be addressed, that things can trigger it and kind of relive it. And it,
exactly.
It's very, you know, it's very, it's not something, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I need to do this on my own. I'll just work it on my own. It's a very serious thing. You need to get professional help. You need to have a team or a community to heal from this, to work through it, because it's a very serious, serious issue.
Agreed. Agreed. You know what? Nancy and I, when we came together as RayStar, you know, we're two women from two different walks of life coming together to bring awareness. And we knew what we were trying to do from the very start years ago, getting out there and making a difference in this world. We have a message to be told out there. And it's not just with one abuse, it's with so many, you know. And it's through our music, it's through our film, it's through speaking at an event, it's out there with our anti-bully campaign. It's so many other things that we want to get out there and mentor people. It's just an incredible thing that God has chosen Nancy and I to get together and create this. Because as God is my witness, as I live, sleep, eat, and breathe, Nancy and I are going to be out there helping people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be heard. Change is coming. The world is going to be a better place. And it takes baby steps, and we know that. We're not, you know, naive to think that it's overnight. But a film like ours, The Right to Live, needs to be in theaters worldwide, international, domestic, everywhere. It needs to be spoken about and getting out there and getting help. You have to. Well, like you said, you have to.
It's won some awards. Can you tell us about that? Because I noticed when the Audience Choice Awards, what was that?
Thank you. The Northeast Film Festival. Larry Rosen is the director alongside Scott Churchington. We won the Audience Choice Award 2014 in September. What an incredible feeling it was having them call our names. The Right to Live.
And the most incredible thing there is that there were 10 Oscar-nominated films and one Emmy a nominated film, and we won Audience Choice Awards. So it's such a blessing to win Audience Choice Awards because audience—that's the audience, that's your peers—and they actually felt that this film was that worthy to be an Audience Choice. So it's such a blessing, and we know that the word's going to get out there.
Wow! How did the audience react to it? Did you see the audience members really getting choked up? How did they react to it?
Oh, my God, we're all, to be honest with you, jumping up. People that weren't, I mean, we had so many people come down there that day, to be honest with you. And everybody, like, stood up, all of our lead actors that were there.
So
we were
excited.
Jumping and screaming and, yeah, we're going crazy. I mean, I just remember turning around to one of our actors happened to be there, Michael Boyd, Randy DiOrio, screaming and yelling. We were jumping for joy, Frank Callo. We were just so excited.
Amy.
Oh, my God. It was just huge.
Yeah. And so well-deserved for what you're doing. Yeah, it's so nice to see something that's so well-deserved, that's making a difference. And that is why I also chose you for this three-part film series. Is it's really, you're making a difference. You're giving people a voice. You're bringing, you know, shedding light on topics that people really try to, like, skirt around. And I think that's what is so powerful. If my listeners want to see the film, to find out more about what you're doing, what do they have to do?
They can go on our website to view our trailers and everything that we are about. We have hotline numbers. We have so many different avenues on that. It's a long website, and it's very informative, .wix.com.
And we're on the verge now of getting it into theaters. That's where we're looking for distribution.
Oh, wow.
You can
and
then
October 20th. You're having an event on October 20th.
October 20th, we will be at the Promenade Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. It's in Manhattan on 3rd Avenue. We're going to have a release party. We're going to have lots of music and dancing, interviews, red carpet event, you name it. We're having trailers. Everything is going to be happening that night. So anybody who's in the New York area, come down there. October 20th from 6 to 12. Can't wait. 3rd Avenue, New York.
And I can't wait because I'm definitely going to be there that night. I'm really looking forward to it. I have some questions from the listeners I wanted to read for you two. The first question is, Dear Insight into Healing, I have been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 3 years. He is very controlling and can be emotionally abusive at times. Should I leave?
Okay.
It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything controlling?
Well, the first thing I would ask is, have you talked to him about it? Which 3 years I would assume she probably has. Then I would say, you should probably take a step back. This is who he has been for 3 years. He has to see that he has a problem so he can get help. Usually 9 out of 10 times, if you decide to stay there, you will continue going through the same cycle. Somehow the cycle of madness has to stop.
Absolutely. To be honest with you, they need to sit down. No, you don't need to give up and throw in the towel. Definitely not. But just voice your opinion towards each other and what is making the situation arise as far as being controlling. Showcase on each part. Say, what can I do to better our lives together so I don't become so controlling? Because it comes from somewhere. You know, something that the other party is going through and what he or she has experienced in their life. Talk about what has led them to where they are right now, which is making the party to be too controlling. Because he or she has to get help and realize what it is that is becoming so controlling and wanting to take somebody's individual power. Showcase what it is, talk about it, voice about it, get help, and know that you can come out of it and get help to become a better relationship, get married, have a family, and lead a productive life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also wondering for this listener to write in now, I'm wondering if it has it gotten worse, has it escalated, and is there any fear that it will turn? Because you said it's emotionally abusive. It hasn't, I think, not gotten physical yet. So I think this is definitely a time to, if you haven't, discuss with him, get therapy, go in for a professional opinion if there's any chances or any, you know, fears of this becoming physical. And is this something he's aware of? And is this something he's willing to work on? Or is this a real issue that it's getting worse and worse? And is your safety, you know, an issue? Because if your safety is an issue, I would say then, you know, I always say safety first. And it's a hard thing because I think a thing with emotional abuse, by the time you're halfway in it, you don't really realize your self-esteem is so put down, how you feel about yourself. It's almost like you've been brainwashed to think that you're nothing, that you're no good, that you don't even trust your own opinion anymore. You don't know who you are anymore. So it's just such, you know, it's such, you know, emotional abuse. That's why I say it's very damaging as physical abuse.
Exactly. And it takes such willpower to get out of emotional abuse or any type of abuse situation. And it's so incredible as you say that, Alexa, because you don't know if it has escalated. It has been 3 years. And that's why it's so important sometimes to take a step back. You take a step back, doesn't mean you're leaving the relationship. No. But people need to take a step back and sometimes realize where the problem's coming from and get help.
You have to.
Because if you continue going that way, it's the same cycle.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, and I think also that people think sometimes emotional abuse can just end, it'll just get better on its own. And I, as a professional, don't feel it ever will. This is something that just doesn't go away like the flu.
Exactly.
It stays. It gets worse like an addiction.
You're teetering. You're definitely teetering. I mean, there's a fine line between love and hate, to be honest with you. You're teetering because the emotional state can definitely turn into domestic violence situation, you know, and it can become physical. You know, there's a teetering line there, but the other party has to be willing, whoever the person is abusing them, they have to know what they're doing. And if they can change, by all means, okay, step in, take the change, go through it and become a better relationship. But if not, if it's teetering on, for, like you're saying, with safety, no, I don't mean personally advise for somebody to stay into something like that if they know that they are going to continue with that. Mm-hmm. That person has to want to get help.
Mm-hmm. And Alexa, you know, a lot of times people want to change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of things are automatic for us. The subconscious is automatic. Let's talk about changing the subconscious. That's a whole other study that we're doing.
Exactly.
You know, because some people do want to change, but they keep doing it over and over because it's habitual. It's something that they do automatically already. So now it's about changing the subconscious and changing their habits, and that takes work. And if somebody's with you, they got to be willing to go through it with you or not.
Yep. You know, so it becomes a question that they need to sit down and really talk about. There's a lot of things to get help, that you have to get help somehow.
And you have to have the love there, to be honest with you, depending on the person who is being victimized. You know, he or she has to be willing to take that walk, like Nancy's saying, with them and guide them through, because they're not going to do it alone.
No.
So bringing on help from faithful, like their love is, you know, they have to know that they can walk this walk together as a couple and become a better couple in society, because there's a thin line between love and hate. And just know that if it's just the emotional state that they're trying to repair, know where it's coming from, recognize it, realize it, and get the help. So you can come out to the other side. But don't, you know, feel for one second that everybody should go through these domestic violence situations and be physically harmed. No. I don't know if she is going through that, like you're saying. But just know that, you know, you can work through, but they have to be a willing party, and you want to be able to come through the other side. And you have to be able to walk the walk with them.
Yes, yes. Well, our second question is now from a man. Dear Insight into Healing, my girlfriend of 2 months has become very jealous. She gets really upset when I go out with my friends and threatens to end the relationship. What should I do?
Well, I
feel these are some warning signs.
Very much. But you know what? What I would say first is that sit down and talk to her. You know, do you include her in your outing? Do you take her out? You know, you have to somehow make her feel as secure as possible. It seems like she may have a trust issue, and that takes work. You have to see if you're willing to go do the work with her.
Agreed.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you have to be able to, you know, it's so new and so, you know, oh, my God, does he or she love me? What can I do to better the situation? She just wants to feel loved. He wants to feel loved. They just want to be a part of your life. And if you feel neglected in any way, shape, or form, it's going to make him feel insecure. It's going to make him feel like, oh, my God, I'm jealous. I don't want him having so much fun out there with that party. It's so new and fresh. Just include that other party within your circle, in your inner life. Mm-hmm. And they just want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And just know that if you make the other party feel safe, not in the sense that they're being harmed, but safe, you know, honey, I love you, and you know what, I'm going to make you a part of this. But just know that the other party has to know, okay, he or she can get out there and hang out with my friends. But once you secure them that you are good together, the other party it'll simmer down,
mm-hmm.
and that jealousy will
mm-hmm.
survive.
Right, and the other party, you know, maybe they've never... You know, they have to learn how to trust. Maybe they've been through so much that it's hard for them. You know, it's like baby steps. They're starting all over.
You don't know also.
I don't know the age either. I mean, they've been together 2 months, so
yeah.
It still is fresh. But I'm not sure if these are very young teenagers or if this is an adult couple. But I think, you know, it's something definitely to be brought to be spoken about. I think it's the boyfriend should say, hey, I've noticed this, if he hasn't already. This is going on, you know. What is going on? And I think to see if this is this a deal breaker for me when he says she gets very upset and threatens to end the relationship and gets jealous. I mean, how is she getting jealous? How is she verbalizing it? Is she screaming and yelling? Is she showing up where you're going? I think it's really saying, you know, seeing what you want to do and also talking to her and saying, okay, what's going on? And being able to tell her, you know, this isn't okay. I understand maybe you have some trust issues or there's things going on, but, you know, is this something we can work on? But if not, this can't continue going on. I think he needs to address it and see what's going on, and then also see, you know, what can he do if there's anything. I mean, speak to her about it, work on the trust issues, if he wants to do, about what should I do. It is 2 months, too, so it's really seeing, you know, getting to know her even more. But I think if it escalates again... That's something to keep in your mind. It might get worse, but if it's something that can be addressed and she can work on it and she's willing to work on it, then I think you can. This could maybe be a healthy relationship.
Also, I completely agree with you. And also, what's prompting her to become jealous? You know, maybe she's had previous relationships that she's been cheating on. To be honest with you, you don't know what's provoking her to become so jealous. You know, something that maybe has happened to her in her life. Maybe that was something that she went through in a previous, and she just got out with his friends. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, he's going to meet somebody else new, and he's going to cheat on me. You don't know what's prompting her to react that way. So definitely discuss it with her. Find out what's happened to her maybe in her previous relationships. and maybe work past that because it is still new and fresh, and try to include her into your life somewhat. So this way she doesn't feel so insecure that, oh, my God, he's out there. This way he can have a productive life out there and have healthy friendships and get out there because, you know, you have to be with somebody 24/7. It's not healthy to do that. You have to be able to be your own individuality person, you know, be able to showcase because being smothered is no good, Alexa.
No.
Otherwise, then you feel like you can't breathe. And that forms more abuses down the line, to be honest with you.
Yes, I think this might be something, as I say, to speak to her about. File it away in your mental memo cabinet in your head as this is a red flag. And if some more red flags come up, I would say, you know, really rethink what you're going to do. And, you know, and really see, you know, really be able to explore, you know, what are your options. And
exactly.
Then our last question, it's a tough one because, you know, relationships are work. Sometimes people think when I do a lot of couples therapy, people should just be mind readers and they should just know and this is how it's supposed to be. And they're not.
No. Relationships are work.
It is. It's a work in progress. And every day is a work in progress. You know, look, every relationship is hard. I mean, everything's work. You have to work at it. It just isn't going to come like that. Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, there's no. We're not saying to work when there's an abusive relationship, but any relationship, it's work. Like a work, as you said, a work relationship, friend relationship, romantic partner, with your parents. And with our last question, it said, "Dear Insight into Healing, my parents fight constantly. They're always screaming and yelling at each other, even though they never involved me. I'm frightened. What can I do?" That goes back to the children see everything. They internalize it and always blame themselves. Parents, I mean, sometimes I hear parents, oh, they're too young. They don't realize it. It does. It impacts them at any age, even if they're 1, 2 years old.
It does impact them. And I'm speaking from experience. You know, again, I grew up in a domestic violence household. And the emotional and physical abuse, I mean, I grew up with a nervous problem, with a nervous situation. My mom used to take me to the doctors all the time because I was always shaking or banging my head. And the doctor said that was my nerves. So you're frightened all the time. And that's the thing about, you know, going to a higher source or talking to a counselor or even sitting your parents down and letting them know how it's making you. And if you feel like you're not getting the help from them, then that's when you talk to a counselor. Talk to your aunt. Talk to a higher power. Get the help you need. Get the counseling you need. See if you can somehow get the family their help they need. You know, it's like the 4 steps that we talk about. Acknowledge abuse is not your fault. Talk about it. Sit down, talk to them. Talk to your counselor. Take your power back. Realize that that's abuse that's happening, but it's not you, even though you're frightened, but it's them going through it. And it's hard to separate because it's your parents and you love them and you go through it as they go through it, but somehow through counseling, you learn to separate that. And then live again. You know, you can live again. You can go to school activities. You can channel your anger or your fright or whatever you go through.
I completely agree with everything Nancy is saying, and coming from myself from a broken home, to be honest with you, going through a family that has gotten divorced, you know, they showcase so many different, you know, emotional states, abuse, verbal, mental, and all that. You know, mine wasn't domestic violence in that aspect, but it's abuse of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
So being a victim, I'll showcase. You know, you scream out, and at the end I'm like, Mom, you just need to leave Dad, you and him need to separate. You know, because what's better for the children and for yourself, it's not healthy to go through this. Now, I'm going to take you to now and where I'm grown up in my real state of life. You know, my kids, you know, it's not healthy to showcase in front of your children, and it's not something you're intentionally doing to harm your children. But as a child, if they're crying out to you, like I said to you earlier in the show, they're crying out to you for help, please stop and listen to your child. Get them help, number one. Have them definitely go to counseling because you need to listen to your children. And once you hear your children going through what they're going through, then you're going to understand that you and your partner in your household need to change because it's not the children's fault for what they're going through. They're going to showcase it in their adult life. They need to grow up and have a healthy, productive life. You, as a parent, need to sit back and realize what it is that you're doing, provide a situation and get help. The two of you need to change as parents towards each other. Realize what he or she is doing that is hurtful and detrimental towards your family, receive the help, get help, and I'll promise you, if God is my witness, it can lead a productive life. Your children will realize when you get better. You as a parent need to showcase that. If there is a love and there's a foundation there, you need to get that straightened out. The mommy and the daddy need to get help, whatever the partner is. They need to get help. The children need to witness that you can get help, because believe you me, your children will be much happier and they'll feel loved and they'll know that it's not their fault. They should never feel that it's their fault. It's never about them.
No. I agree. I feel the child, if he hasn't spoken to his parents already, if it's safe to speak to his parents about it, speak to his parents. If not, I would speak to a therapist, a counselor at school,
exactly.
A mentor, a big brother, a big sister, a family friend, a church clergy, or someone, if you're frightened. Well, our show is almost over. I wanted to give our journaling exercise before we go. Our journaling exercise is list 3 deal breakers in any type of relationship. 1 in work, 2 with your friends, and 3 with your romantic partner. Deal breakers are things that just you could not work with, things that would have you end the relationship. There's boundaries that would not be something that could not be crossed for you. And write those down. The reason why I chose this exercise, because sometimes our boundaries can kind of go wishy-washy back and forth, and we feel bad, or we kind of forget how, you know, to be standing strong on certain boundaries. So I think sometimes when we write them down and we see them on paper, it gives us a little more strength and power of saying, okay, this is what I will not put up with. And Michelle and Nancy, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was just so amazing, and I cannot wait to see the film and hear more and more about what's going on with it, because I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot more about The Right to Live.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much for having us on the show. God bless you, and we pray that we were able to spread the word and bring awareness and solution in people's lives.
Absolutely. Thank you to our listeners out there and supporting us. We love you all.
And see The Right to Live.
The Right to Live.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone, and God bless.
God bless.